It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Glad to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. I got to tell you, and we're going to talk about the one thing that people are saying no to. But before we get to that, Mike, Arizona Cardinals are making Pro Bowl tight end Trey McBride the highest paid tight end in NFL history.
Fantasy winner for me. I won my league this year because this guy was money all season.
He was a killer, right? 4 years, $76 million extension. Deal includes $43 million guaranteed, $19 million average per year. The reason why I bring this up is because this is the kind of deal that I believe Kyle Pitts would be looking at, Mike, if he had lived up to expectations so far.
Right.
Now, we did pick up his fifth-year option. But this is usually the year where you're trying to do a deal like this to get ahead of that if a guy outperforms his rookie deal.
The way we did with Desmond Trufant.
Correct.
You know, going into the final year, you gave him the contract.
That hasn't happened.
No.
And the reason why we bring this up is this is what we're saying, guys. You know, everybody talks about, well, this is the year. Oh, it's going to finally be the year. And I hope it is. I really do. And I hope him and Michael Penix have a connection beyond belief and we're like amazed and astounded and we go, wow, I can't believe all of a sudden that Kyle Pitts looks like this. But these kind of guys that we're talking about, and by the way, Brock Bowers is going to be another guy. They're going to take care of Brock Bowers way before he gets to his fifth-year option.
We were just mentioning last, if you missed in fourth and one, that they gave a nice contract extension to Geno Smith. So Geno's got a nice deal. We said if they go get Gentry, from Boise State, that's a nice offensive pieces or package, I should say, for the Raiders.
So I only mention that to say this is the kind of thing that we would be talking about if our guy had lived up to it.
Right.
He hasn't. And so you go into the last year of his deal, the money's on the books, Mike. I know we had talked about a variety of things, you know, trade, this, that, and the other, and then Kyle Pitts put that tweet or that post out there, and the Falcons, you know, they co-signed it, basically saying, hey, we're going to have another, you know, we're going to come after it this year, and we're going to give more, and okay, I hope so. But when I see this kind of stuff, I go, you have been outperformed by other guys who weren't taken as high as you, less expectations, Mike, and yet here they are getting the kinds of deals that we should be seeing with Kyle Pitts, who was the fourth overall pick. It hasn't happened.
Nope. And as we said, all we can do is hope that this guy, you know, the light goes back on. When he had a delivery system that was reliable in Matt Ryan, he is a 1,000-yard receiver. Now, it didn't translate to red zone scores, but, you know, it's still, he was a pro bowler. Now, I know with a 17-game schedule, you average like less than 50 yards and you make 1,000 yards. So that's kind of the bar has been lowered. But I don't even need that. I don't even need that benchmark from him, bro. Give me 800 yards and give me 10 touchdowns. Become the red zone weapon we draft you to be.
So anyways, it's just an example. But that's the kind of money. When you say, well, what would he be getting? This.
Well, that's why if you look at a lot of these mock drafts, you know who's in the top 15 or top 20 is Tyler Warren, the kid out of Penn State.
He's a dude. I like Tyler Warren a lot.
Physical dude also makes the catch.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. All right, the thing that people are saying no to, and I don't know if you are, as we talk about our Falcons, strong arm story of the day is on the way, and we will get back into our Braves, who have lost all 7 games on the road to start the season. We are in panic mode. We know. We've been talking about it all week, and we get a chance to come back home. But last night was a heartbreaker. More on that coming up. Are you okay with the Falcons taking an offensive lineman in the first round? Period. Are you okay with the Falcons taking an offensive lineman in the first round?
Well, the only way to answer that is not like in one sentence. It's almost like the caveat of if all those other guys you drafted, and we had D-Led on, you'll hear the conversation next hour, he believes in Rook, Arororo. He does not necessarily still believe in Braylon Trice, although we do. He's not really sold it, you know. And I said, what about, you know, Ebikadi Pop? And he said, I don't think you, he said they're too similar to have him and Leonard Floyd on the line at the same time. So I don't know. But you,
smallish, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm not saying small guys. We're talking about weight guys. We're talking about bigger guys
but
on
if,
the edge.
But if Rook is that big powerhouse in the middle, or, you know, again, that's why I wish we were 4-3. We're not, but it's negligible. We're in the nickel. You'd love to have a little more size and, you know, for that to work. But getting back to your initial question, you've got to protect Michael Penix Jr. The only way we're going to win.
Are you saying yes?
Begrudgingly, yeah. Because I don't believe McGarry can do the job of protecting the blind side. Hell, it was McGarry that got Kirk Cousins killed in New Orleans, which created the whole disaster.
Yeah.
Now, granted, one of those plays, he did get twisted up. Well, I think it was Lindstrom stepped on his foot. But either way, there was a lot of heat coming from that side in that game at Kirk Cousins. I don't trust McGarry going backwards. Forwards, he's really good. And then maybe you trade McGarry and get whatever you can for him, and you go get and do it on draft night or draft weekend, and then you go get your big starting tackle, and the fans won't like it, but you've got to protect Penix Jr. You can't do all the crazy stuff you did last year with Michael Penix Jr. not to protect the investment.
Are you okay with it? 404-726-0929. Text us and let us know. We're curious to hear what you have to say, because as I saw, we talked about this yesterday at Buffalo's Cafe, up there and coming. I'm serious. When we talked about this, it was no!
Right.
Because we are all so convinced in our head, Mike, that we have to absolutely go defense, specifically in the first round. Okay?
Right.
If you were to tell me, all right, they're going to draft a tackle in the second, all right, maybe with the fourth pick. But the problem with that is you're not getting the cream of the crop. And if you are that concerned with protecting your most important element or your most important investment in Michael Penix, then you don't wait. So, guys, there are a couple of guys at the top of this draft. Will Campbell's one of them from LSU, 326-6. Calvin Banks Jr., you heard me talk about the fact that they went to Austin to see him work out of the University of Texas, 6'4", 320. These are big dudes that are at the top of this class, Mike. There's also Josh Simmons from Ohio State, also 6'5", 6'6", 310, or whatever, 320. There's a bunch of tackles that are going to be available. And if the Falcons feel this, you know, confident in saying, hey, yeah, this is where we need to be, I'm just telling you right now, for those of you who might be disappointed, get your mind right.
Yeah, and you can still go edge rush. I've been doing a couple of mock drafts. You can get some really good defensive tackles in the second round. There's second-tier corners in the second round, which we also need. Will Campbell goes to the Patriots, who have a really bad offensive line, and Maurice Jones-Drew's newest mock draft from NFL Network.
All right.
And then you got a couple more other guys going. Armand Membo from Missouri.
Dude, he's
goes,
a dude.
He goes to the Saints. I'm just looking at what this is what MJD's got. And then he's got us in this draft going with Mike Green, but Kelvin Banks goes right after that to Arizona, to your point.
So D-Led said this, and again, Mike mentioned you'll hear the entire interview coming up. It's online at odyssey.com. Go check it out. If you're concerned with the, I hate to say it, off-the-field concerns, right? And he said Green is one of them, and then we were talking about Pierce being the other, right?
And we had a Tennessee fan who said, look, I never heard anything about Pierce being lazy or unmotivated up there, but it's become a narrative in his draft profile.
Yeah, and so if that is the truth, and again, we do not know completely, then you can say, all right, well, we're going to put those guys aside right now. Then that leaves what? And my point is this. Are you willing to take a second-tier potential edge rusher if you feel that way? Maybe there's two or three guys you go, if we get these guys, we're good. The next tier I don't feel as good about, but I could get the best tackle instead. Mike, doesn't that make you feel a little bit better?
Well, I mean, like I said, we're going to be doing a lot of convincing to people on Friday. We're up at Flower Branch if they pull that move. But I just think, guys, if you're as excited about Michael Penix Jr. and you think this guy is going to be the man for the next decade, you've got to have protection. Because one thing or not, I mean, certain or not, Jake is eventually going to be moving on. He's been durable. He's been solid. He's a rock. He's 33, and they've moved some of his money because they believe he's going to be around for a few more years.
Absolutely.
And look, nothing against McGarry. I've seen it with my own eyes over the years. I joke around with Carl yesterday. Beep, beep, beep. When he goes backwards, bad things tend to happen. Forwards, he's good. He's really part of a good physical run-blocking team. But, man, just throw a name at you. I think it's Braden Swinson out of LSU. Mm. Edge rusher really kind of popped last year. He could be available where we select in the second round. So that's just a name to think about, you know, thinking out loud. Then maybe do you trade back in the first round and maybe mortgage some stuff from next year to get your edge rusher if you go tackle. That's another option.
It is. You guys let us know. I mean, look, we cannot rule out this possibility. Am I going to be silly to sit here and tell you, hey, it's only, when in fact it could be? Just because they're not talking about it doesn't mean anything. Guess what? When Dan Quinn was here, he wasn't talking about drafting a safety either.
Right.
And that was his first pick. And you go, what? And it ended up being a pretty good one in Keon O'Neal. But the point is, like, just because they're not mentioning it or talking about it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean or doesn't mean that they don't believe that this might be the pick. I'm talking about position-wise, Mike. I'm not talking about the player. And I also think, Mike, that when we talk about this leading up here in a few weeks to the draft, and we're going to have all the coverage, by the way, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll be down at Mercedes-Benz doing the show. Mike Conti and Dave Archer and Wes will be in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Involved. They'll have a special edition of the draft show. We're going to have a post-draft show. It's going to be big. But I just feel like I've got to recalibrate this because in my head, I want them to go defense, defense, defense. That's what I want right now, Mike. That's what. And again, I don't care if it's corner, edge, D-tackle. That's what I want. But I don't think it's going to play out that way.
No, I do know that we do need to protect the quarterback and get a big tackle. And this is a rich draft for tackles. And we're right in the sweet spot for tackles. Now, I love the idea, and you'll hear what we ask D. Led about it, Neil Orlando Ledbetter coming up, We never trade back. If you want to pick up some extra juice, you know, to get some of those things.
And like you do this in your mocks.
Yeah, but we just never do it. But you can do it in the mocks. You got it takes two to tango. You got to find a partner that makes sense. You know, it's hard to do it sometimes in your own division. You got to find a team that'll make it make sense for. But if you could trade back and pick up something, whether it's a third rounder, I mean, sometimes you get lucky, it's a second rounder. I mean, how far back do you want to go? Because there's also risks involved there. But, man, imagine being able to restock this thing. We do have the cap space. Chris looked it up to pick up some extra picks, not just what we're budgeted for right now.
Mm.
So just something to think about. I don't know. Then there's always the if do they like Mike Green, right? Do they like Pierce despite what we heard about?
Yeah, it's despite the conversation right.
About
these guys.
I love Mikel Williams. I mean, yeah, even Georgia fans say, can he stay healthy? You know, is he going to be an edge rusher or is he just going to be a really good all-around defensive player, which is a good thing to have too, but we need edge.
All right. Your thoughts are welcome, guys. Hit us up. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Coming up, Strong Arm Story of the Day is on the way. Your text are welcome as well at 404-726-0929. And a ridiculous poll question, which is still up and out there. As Chris said, let the people speak.
Oh, Chris spilling haterade all over Dukes and Bell 929.
He put it up at Dukes and Bell 929, and it is simply asking you, are you going to boo the Braves as they have their home opener tomorrow? My answer is no, but that's me. I don't know how you feel, and Mike and I think we're on the same page here when it comes to why we are where we are. We're 0-7. But again, I don't think it's because of a lack of effort.
No.
It's not like Riley's going up there and going, guys, I'm just going to put the bat on my shoulder. I'm not going to swing it.
Now, last night, I mean, yes, we did get some runs across the board, but it's also because you had an outfield error and you had a third base error. So that was unearned runs. I mean, that was the thing. And Blake Snell never made it out of the fourth. Unfortunately, Elder let them creep in a little bit. But I think three runs from Elder isn't bad. Just only went four innings himself. The bullpen was great till we got to Iglesias.
Yep.
And Snicker, and you'll hear, we'll play the soundbite for you coming up. Snicker basically said, yeah, I sense bad things. Let's try to get a five-out save and turn things around right now. And unfortunately, Iglesias couldn't do it.
All right, go vote. And by the way, Chris, I'm curious, what's it look like as of right now? Because I just feel like, do the Braves deserve to be booed on opening day Friday?
Yeah, so right now it is 63-37 in favor of no, always cheer them on.
Thank you. Good people out there.
That's almost 40%, guys.
And by the way, I've been to these Braves games. Anybody who boos, you're going to be so ostracized no matter where you sit. I mean, booing at a Braves game is literally like farting in church, okay?
Unless it's a terrible call by the umps.
Yeah, and I remember don't get me started. Last time I had those great seats, I was sitting behind the on-deck circle, and I was like, come on, Blue! And like half the section turns around like, who's Blue? Who's he yelling at?
Oh, jeez.
Let me get back to my dipping dots.
Let's get over it. Let's get over and try some of these new food items. All right, man. Strong arm story of the day is on the way. There is no pressure on AA and SNIT, by the way. I'm just letting you know. All right. Why would there be? We just got to start hitting and getting some breaks. And they will. It's Dukes and Bell.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by.
Look, it's hard to evaluate these potential draft prospects, and I'm not talking about their talent. That's on tape. You want to know how strong they are? Go watch the combine tape. Mike, I'm talking about the other intangible things. As we had a gentleman was talking to us, and we had been going through a mock draft, and I want you to kind of go back through this with us, but we were talking about James Pierce out of Tennessee. Just, you know, again, he's one of many, but you know, when you talk about his size and his production over the last few years, he's a dude.
Right.
But yet the profile, as far as what you've seen publicly, when it comes to how he's being rated or at least talked about, and maybe this is not the way it is, again, on draft boards around the league, but it's been, you know, pushed down. And then we had a guy respond and say, hey, fellas, look, I'm a Tennessee fan. Let me tell you what I know. And we get this all the time, whether it's Auburn, you know, it doesn't matter, Alabama. Right. And he's basically saying, hey, I'm not buying into some of the narratives that are being said. Mike, I think this is the hardest thing because when you draft a guy, we've seen it. The thing we don't know is the other stuff, okay? Right. We drafted a guy out of Clemson. Not going to mention any names. Had all the intangibles. Had all the stuff that you want, Mike. The body, the strength, the numbers in college. And then 3 years into his career, we realize he really didn't love it. And that's what you just don't know. And even when you're investing in these high draft picks, so when we talk about some of these guys on the edge, whether if it's an offensive lineman, this is the hard part that they have to figure out.
Now, it's a unique situation. We had access to the teams because our team coached the Senior Bowl, and that's how Rashid Hageman got on the Falcons' radar. And if you go back, just give you an example, looking at strengths, long, well-proportioned, yeah, I mean, the prototypical guy you'd like on defensive line, Rashid Hageman.
And he's so big.
Weaknesses, getting down to the bottom. Does not dominate single blocking, needs more blah, blah, blah. Okay, again, another important stuff. Could require some coaching. Motivation and coachability should be examined more closely.
Uh-oh.
This goes back. And how many times, I remember literally laughing because Brian Cox wearing him out. Because it became a thing on Hard Knocks that this guy just was, you could not seem to get him to do the things you needed him to do. And so that's where we drafted him in the second round. He was the fifth pick. So basically, he was the 37th player taken in the NFL draft that year. That's kind of like where Rook is, too, by the way.
It is. And, it also, he falls.
And Rook doesn't have that discipline. I'm just saying there's expectations when you're drafted that high.
Oh, when you're taken that high, there's no doubt. But it gets back to another guy, Mike, that we took. And when we took him, we were like, holy crap, this guy's going to wreck shop. Tack McKinley.
Right.
Tack McKinley, again, coming out of, I think it was UCLA at the time, Mike. It's one of those deals. We took him in 2017, and you're like, woo.
Jeff Ulbrich was the guy sort of pimping him for the pick.
Never really panned out. I mean, how many sacks did this guy have? Six sacks in 17, seven in 18. It just never felt the same. And then even as his career went on, one sack, two sacks.
Right.
He's been in Cleveland, been with the Rams. He was with the Jets last year. The point is, guys, sometimes that's the part you don't know. And remember, this is a guy that brought a picture of his grandmama up on stage and said, I do it for her.
You and I were on Twitter that night going, hey, what? Maybe this guy's a little cuckoo. I could use a little, Back Bay Oakland toughness here on this defense. The comp to Tack McKinley was Tamba Ali.
Ooh.
Remember the Chiefs?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day? But it just didn't pan out. And they also kind of learned they're going to have to cut bait on him sooner after the whole situation they went through with Vic Beasley.
Vic Beasley.
And remember they picked up Vic's fifth-year option. They didn't do that with Tack.
Yeah. And I didn't mention Vic because I know, the fact is we know what this is. I'm using this as an example.
Right.
To
and Vic's
say,
a good dude, and he popped for a year, just never sustained it.
But Mike, with that ability, he should have been in the league 10 years. Like, seriously, right? Should have been one of the dominant pass rushers in the league for at least 4 or 5 years, and it just didn't play out that way. And then, that's why some people say, hey, what he did in 16 was a fluke, because we never saw it again.
15 and a half sacks, five in the seven. I thought the 17 defense was so much better. That was a year they really did step up. And then five more sacks. And then in 2019, the year that I said, if he gets 10, I'll get a tattoo of his face on my butt.
You did say that.
Came close. It was 8. So, I will say this,
though. You were nervous.
37 and a half sacks in 6 years, that we could do a lot worse when you consider where we are now and how anemic our pass rush has been the last 5 years.
Well, that's true. 404-726-0929. My point is, Atlanta, is that when we talk about these prospects, this is the hardest part. And we're not even drafting a quarterback this year, right?
Right. Right.
Right.
Well,
I'm just saying.
You're going to have to get a quarterback once we get,
what?
I'm trying to be cool with Kirk Cousins. No, I was going to say.
It's too late.
Mr. Freaking Big Mouth.
Okay.
Get off the books. Then we'll be able to, again,
go get it back up.
A lesser, Joe Milton got traded for the Cowboys from New England. He went with a seventh rounder for a fifth rounder, and people are automatically resuscitating the Dak Prescott trade rumors. That's not the case. But Joe Milton is a nice backup, considering what he did when he finally got to play for the Patriots last year. He was actually pretty good when Drake May went down.
Well, he's got a big arm. He's a big dude. I do not dislike the idea of him being a backup and learning. But this is what I was saying, Mike, when everybody's like, well, what are we going to do when Cousins leave or if he leaves? We'll figure it out. Like, they'll go get somebody. I'm not concerned with that as much as I am with the other parts of the roster. But I just, I think when we get into these draft discussions, and we will a lot over the next few weeks, part of it will be, I want this guy, I want that guy. And I know many of you have hit us up. Dude, I did my mock draft. Look at this. What do you think? And some of your mock drafts are absolutely amazing. My thing is, there weren't 30 other teams drafting against you and trying to maneuver and make moves. You were just manipulating the draft as you wanted it to be. And so that's why I see some of these drafts, Mike. Some of these mock drafts have every guy we want.
Right.
And that's
why I told Carl I was laughing, because it's like almost like that commercial when they asked the girl, hey, how many apps do you have on your phone you're paying for? Apparently, I dropped $79 yesterday. I got binged on my American Express for Pro Football Focus. So I told Carl, well, I'm going to get some serious mock drafts going right now. But we did a mock draft earlier, and some guys think it's really good. Some guys don't know what to make of it, but they're not names you're going to know other than Mikel Williams. But I was able to trade down in the PFF thing. Yeah, I know it's nerdy, but bear with me. If we could trade down in the second round, I found a trading partner with Green Bay. And then I was able to get some interior help with a guy named Shamar Turner from Texas A&M.
Big DT.
I got a dude named Mello Dotson from Kansas.
Mello!
Yes, I did go for the name. We need a wide receiver depth, so it's a fourth rounder. I got a guy named Torrey Horton out of Colorado State. Another great name, O'Donnell Fortune out of South Carolina. He plays corner. So I backed up our corner depth. I backed our interior defensive line depth, and I picked up Smile Mundon on a throwaway pick in the seventh round.
So, yeah, Mike, that might be our approach. I'm not saying those exact players, but the approach is, listen, we need to add some depth. We need some more help defensively, obviously. Right. But part of this is, are you truly drafting three starters? And I asked Mike this yesterday. In this draft, you should be getting a starter in the first round. Regardless, that's got to be an impact guy at 15. If we stay there, even if it's 20 guys, that guy's got to be an impact guy. But, Mike, when you're telling me in the fourth round that's a guy you're going to rely on, we hardly saw a rookie class last year, and all these guys weren't hurt.
Right, but I don't think they can say it, although Coach did mention it down there at the owners' meetings, talking about looking forward to working with, and he gives you the laundry list of all the guys they've drafted. You know, D-Led, you know, he doesn't believe Troy Anderson can stay healthy, because when you play nine games for 2 years.
So then we're drafting a linebacker.
Well, that's why I think you could get a linebacker. And I wouldn't, unless you feel that Troy's going to bounce back, because this isn't also kind of a prove-it year for Troy Anderson. You know, we're all kind of rolling our eyes. Rook, we believe in. Don't only saw a little bit of him, but you know they all believe in the power.
I do.
Braylon Trice.
I've been saying to you, Rook's right. Going to be fine. I know we had a limited sample space, but I do believe, and I said this the night he was drafted. Like a lot of people didn't see him at Clemson. He's a good player, man, and a lot of teams had him high on their boards.
Right, and then you get into if we do go offensive tackle. Then you got to go get an impact. You know, then you can basically do anything you want. Then you're basically putting off the big edge pick till next year and hoping you're getting production.
But is that going to satisfy our
appetite? No, of course not. But then you're hoping Braylon Trice in a rotation with Leonard Floyd and Ebikadi produces.
Yeah, right. That you feel like you have that covered.
Right. I don't know about that. But and by the way, you know, you could argue that if we go get Josh Simmons, if Kelvin Banks is there, you got your next Jake Matthews for a decade.
10 years, yeah.
And no one's going to like it. But you guys, I said it last segment, you've got to protect Michael Penix. Everything you did last year makes no sense if you don't protect Michael. If he's basically running for his life because Caleb McGarry can't nail down the blind side.
At least he can run. 404-726-0929, that is the number for you to hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. We are going to hear from Brian Snitker when we come back, because Snit was talking about where his team is and the decisions he made in the defeat last night. That one hurt. These other ones didn't hurt. That one hurt because it felt like, hey, you're going to get back right.
That is the kind of loss last night when things are going bad that rips your heart out. It's almost like that second Indiana Jones movie, and they show it to you.
Didn't they eat it?
Well, that was the Indian. It just dies, right? That was the one in India.
Yeah. But doesn't he take a bite of that?
Does he take a bite out of that hard orange?
I think he does.
I don't remember.
Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom? Not Temple of Doom. Maybe it's Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom. Does he eat the heart?
I think
that's
he does.
That's excessive.
Alima.
We're coming back. We may need to eat a heart if we don't start hitting.
Right.
All right. Braves conversation on the way. What did Snit say about his decision? You'll hear it next. Oh, right now, heartbreak. We lose 6-5. Shohei Ohtani walks it off, and we're all in disarray. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves get an off day today. Get some rest, fellas. We're going to need it. Worst road trip, Mike, in franchise history, 0-7. Bottom line is, you've been saying this, no team has started 0-8 and makes the postseason. I'm hoping that's not what we're talking about, okay?
Well, we could be making history.
Yes, we could. But last night, Mike, everyone seems to be questioning, or at least, the naysayers. I do not. I think this was the right decision. Brian Snitker turning to Iglesias for a potential five-out save. Did you have an issue with it?
No, I mean, because, guys, Deisbel Hernandez, he started a little struggle there, and all of a sudden you watch. Now, look, I don't know what your expectations for Bryce Elder was. I think giving up three runs in four innings, about as what we should expect from him at this stage. But unfortunately, the Dodgers chipped away, and then Hernandez wasn't really giving you confidence. So you know what? Snicker, and you'll hear the soundbite, but, you know, basically feeling I've got to do something a little dramatic here to get this thing to nip, you know, stop the bleeding. You know, and so it's funny. You guys say Snicker should get fired, and, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's grasping the seriousness of the moment, and he does something. And it's not like Iglesias hadn't thrown yet because they had many games to save.
No, I agree, Mike. I thought it was the right decision. And by the way, you pitch to the best hitter in baseball. This dude is unbelievable. And that could have been anybody, but because of the way things have gone for us, it felt like a gut punch because you were like, why would we do that? Snit did the right thing. Here's what he said about that decision.
So he hadn't pitched. He's pitched one time in 10 days. I almost went with him just to let him have two innings. I feel like I could come in there and get a ground ball. But he was well rested and you know, wouldn't it, you know, it's something that he did a lot last year. I didn't want to do something like that this early, but it's kind of like, you know, I wanted to try and go after this game, and he's our best pitcher right there.
Yeah, man, the earned runs are on Hernandez's sheet, but, you know, unfortunately he can't close it out in the eighth, and then things obviously get worse when you have a guy who's the best player on the planet come up in the ninth.
Shohei's pretty good. Here's what Snit said about Shohei Ohtani, by the way. And, you know, look, you don't get to pick and choose. Obviously, the lineup's a lineup, and this is why you try to maneuver and you put your best pitchers in there. And again, I would roll with Iglesias anytime in this situation, considering the circumstances where we're 0-for, but Snit had this to say about Ohtani.
No, you don't like seeing him come up anytime, really. But you know, he's a special player. This thing's hard. This game is hard. It's hard, and especially in this position that we put ourselves here. So we just got to keep fighting and eventually get out of it.
Yeah, the walk-off home run. I got a kick out of Mark Bowman from MLB.com. He goes, that was really the only fitting way this road trip from hell could end.
It's true. I mean, like everything that you possibly could imagine to start the season. So Iglesias last night, again, you know, he walked Will Smith, gave up that tying two-run double to Max Muncy, and then two batters later, you know, you come up ninth inning, Andy strikes out, Andy Pages, and then ball game. Like, that's how it played out. But let's talk about the hitting, Mike, because this is the other side of things. And then we'll let you hear what Austin Riley had to say about his performance. Bases loaded, second inning. Was that the moment where you thought this game got away from us? Because, again, we got nothing out of it.
Well, you got in the sixth inning, you had bases loaded with nobody out. You know, that's the one where I'm like, yeah, you go back and you look at the scenarios that present themselves, and you remember Blake Snell only goes four innings.
That's right.
So you chase him. Of course, you know, it's one of the best pitching staffs in all of the show. But, yeah, that's the one that when I said, that's about, you know what, can't lie to you, that's when I fell asleep. Trump walks, Harris pinch hits for Eli White, he singles, and then Albie singles to left. So bases are loaded.
Yeah.
And then the bear comes in, flies out to center. Riley gets struck out looking. And then Olsen flies out to shortstop. So talk about, like, bases loaded with nobody out. It's 5-3. You can break this game open, and I mean, you go out with a whimper.
So we were the worst in Major League Baseball in runners in scoring position before yesterday. We were 1-for-35. 5-for-15 in yesterday's game.
Oof.
So that is not a winning formula.
No, and the runs you scored, some of that was because you had an error in left and an error in third base. They were unearned runs. But, I mean, like, as you said on Twitter last night, we'll take it, but still, it's not like you're raking.
No, man. I mean, like, I just wanted to see the bats come alive. And, by the way, credit to the lineup. And Snit was like, look, I love Snit. He said, what are we going to do, not hit with the guys he put out there? What are we going to do, not score runs? And we actually put five on the board. Here's Austin Riley, first and foremost, talking about coming home. And he is not expecting to get booed, Turtle. Here's Riley.
Got an off day tomorrow, and we get to go play in front of the best fans. So, you know, we got that to, you know, look forward to and you know, clean some things up. We just got to play good baseball. That's bottom line. You know, offensively, we just got to play better baseball.
Best fans in MLB, Mike. Let's pick our guys
That's
up.
That's right. Turtle wants you to be booing these guys tomorrow night. What kind of world do you live in, Turtle? And as I said to Carl earlier, no one's going to boo at the Braves game, because if you boo at the Braves game, man, they'll probably get you thrown out of the stadium. I mean, who's going to boo the Braves? The Braves come out of the dugout. You're going to be right there. Boo! Are you the dirty looks and the vibe and the and anybody who's ever been to a Braves game, if you even criticize somebody who's not performing, most Braves fans go, excuse me, sir. We don't do it like that here in Braves country, I say. Take that negativity and walk out to the concourse, I say.
They've not done anything to be booed.
Yeah, look, guys, it's a brutal start.
We started with the best two teams in Major League Baseball. It happens, man. We're going to be fine. We're just not that good right now.
Look, you want to boo somebody, boo some of the executives up in the suite. Not Alex, the guys who don't let him spend the money on the stuff we need.
Here's Austin Riley, Mike. He took ownership of this, man. Yep. He was like, look, that was a big spot in the game. Bases loaded, one out. Here's Riley.
From a personal standpoint, it's honestly embarrassing what I've displayed offensively, and I've got a lot of work to do. It's from an offensive point, you know, there's no excuses. It's embarrassing. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, right there at the bases loaded, you know, one out with me, you know, I no excuses. I got to get it done. And you know, it was not good whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, embarrassed was the word you heard from a lot of players in the post game. Frustrated, I saw that when I rewatched it this morning. Boy, that was a drag.
Yeah,
but I just
I stayed up and after the home run, you know, you know how we get when these games play out, whether it's a game winner or goal or whatever it might be. Like when it's our team, you know, you end up like and I ended up, Mike, probably staying up a good 45 minutes after I wanted to go to bed because we talked about it yesterday. I was tired. I was like, oh, I'm going to stay up. Hopefully I get a chance to see the end of the game. And I'm in like I'm up 45 minutes after the game just going, you know, come on. So I hear you, man. I mean, the frustration is real. I appreciate Riley owning that and saying, you know, but embarrassment, I don't know about that. I mean, from a personal standpoint, I get it. With his salary and expectation, yeah. I understand what he's saying. Hey, but I don't know about being embarrassed, Mike. Nobody's hitting.
I like the fact, other than, you know, maybe some fans who hit us up on the text line or Twitter want somebody to go, this is effing unacceptable. Hey, so remember, I always wanted Matt Ryan to say that. Never said it. You know? You know, just own it and throw a nutty like Chris Farley. Like, I'm telling you right now, we're going to turn this thing around. But that's like, that's about as you know, as real as it gets for a guy like Austin Riley, who's he's a good old country boy from Mississippi, and he's not going to get crazy. But he just said, "Man, this is freaking embarrassing. We're pros. We just got humiliated. We're the worst team in Major League Baseball." And I love him saying that.
I do too. 404-726-0929. And I just think 7 games in, you're being a little bit hard. Like if Austin Riley was in an 0-for-40 slump or something like that, okay, I get it. That's not this. He's not been hitting. I get it. Runners in scoring position. He feels like he's got to be a guy that comes through. And I hope he is. But that's his history, right? We know, as we like to say, what his back of his baseball card says, he's going to be a guy. Can I hear Snit talking about how tough this is on the guys? And, like, even though the fans, us, are feeling some kind of way that, you know, they know it more than we do.
You know, we have yet to play the complete game. You know, we scored a few runs. You know, have potential for a lot more, really. Yeah, you know, but we got to play 27 outs, and we're having a hard time getting that done. I don't wish this on anybody.
Nope. And as we said, the worst in baseball, runners in scoring position. We talked about every game, every loss is a new sort of benchmark. We're going to be getting back.
Come on,
we're getting back to the point now where, like, the Braves team's in Boston, and there wasn't even a radio for a play-by-play.
It
hadn't been invented yet.
Radio? So, what is that?
You know, so. you'd have to read the sports pages. See what those bean eaters did last night. But yeah, so it's brutal. But you know, it all starts tomorrow, and you know, you hope that you catch some kind of juice, and then we can all laugh ha 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 about the worst start in history. 21 was about as bad as it gets with the Marcel, you know, I should say with the Ronald Acuna injury. You know, we had all the different things. Remember 1 year with Ozuna with the suspension. We've gone through some stuff with this team. So this year, somebody hit me up on Twitter yesterday and said, you think the Profar thing, I don't know if they ever, you know, how much they knew about Profar, or did the team already know that the other shoe was going to drop with Profar when they left camp? I don't know.
I don't either. Maybe that.
But that's still no excuse for what you do. So you're telling me you're at the dish, you're thinking about some guy. Come on. No. It's what you do up to the plate.
No, Snit, it's not. Mike, one positive we got to mention. 6 o'clock hour straight ahead, our conversation with D. Orlando Ledbetter talking about the Falcons, his experience at NFL annual meetings that went on down there in Florida. Nick Allen, man. Nick Allen is a positive.
Yes. And again, you know me. I've loved to hate. Yeah, maybe I love to hate Arcia. I'm not a fan of Arcia's game. But if this guy, if he can keep it going for the Braves, that's one positive from this road trip.
Yeah, man. I just, you know, you're looking at, and I know we weren't paying attention, I say most of us, in the spring. But the kid hit 359 in 43 plate appearances in spring. So he was raking. And here's what we didn't know. I'm talking about Braves Nation, Braves country. Outplayed Arcia. Okay,
yeah. And he's batting 364 in the three games he's gotten to play so far.
You outplayed him in spring, and now you're getting some time. And then, Mike, last night, 2-for-4, stolen base. He's doing some stuff.
He reminds me of, like, the nerdy guy in Bull Durham. Remember the guy?
Oh, wow, that's funny.
You know the one who falls in love with the guy? Yeah, that's
That's funny.
Would you take my testimony? But anyway, I don't know that. But no, Nick Allen, that's just one positive. We got a plucky dude, a guy who's bounced around, who's 26 and is actually doing something right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, whatever's going to help. It doesn't matter. Swelly on the hill tomorrow, Turtle. Swelly? Schwellenbach tomorrow. And let's hope that in that home opener. Speaking of that, he'll be great. In the home opener, Mike, speaking of it, we're going to be at Murph's tomorrow, by the way. Want to remind you guys.
Very special. I don't want to spill the beans. You'll hear it on the show promo tomorrow. But we have some special guests because tomorrow is April 4th, which means 404 day here in the A.
Yeah.
So some guys that have ties to Atlanta sports heritage. I think you're really going to enjoy the conversations.
No doubt. And by the way, Murph's in the Cobb Galleria. All right. As we'll be out there from 2 to 7 leading up to the first pitch. It's brought to you by Verizon and by Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free, and by Racetrack. Whatever gets you going, that's Friday, 2 to 7 at Murph's on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we got a lot more to dive into here. It's been a busy, busy day here on the show. Hawks lose last night. We talk about the Braves, and that's another thing, Mike. You were like, hey, Hawks are going to win. Braves are going to win, and then neither one of them
won. Yeah, I posted on Twitter today. It's like between the Hawks and the Braves and the stock market, it's like, good God, you know, make it a double. So, yeah, the Hawks last night, and we spoke with Lauren Williams from the AJC. Even she said it's hard to envision these guys, you know, really carrying a best of seven once they get in. If they can, first off, can you advance beyond the play-in?
Play-in, right.
You're in the best position at seven, but still, last night they didn't play with poise down the stretch, and I'm starting to question for the first time in a while some of Quinn Snyder's decisions and some of the things that are happening coming out of the halftime. They've been outscored both games by 10 in the third quarter, the last two games.
The Hawks are in deep, deep doo-doo.
Thank you, Steve. Great point. We're going to talk about that coming up, and also what quarterback got a big, fat contract extension. Mm. We'll tell you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.